Thank you, Jim, and I do beg your forgiveness for being tardy. No excuses. I am thankful for the opportunity to be with you tonight, and I'm thankful that you all have taken advantage of the opportunity to be in the Lord's house tonight, that we might share in the Word of God, that we might share in the fellowship of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that hopefully that we will be encouraged to rise to a higher spiritual plane. Our brother this morning spoke about our free will, that the Lord will inspire us and direct our paths, but we have to exercise our free will and act upon His leading. And He finished His sermon with a reading from the third chapter of Revelation, verses 20 and 21. I'd like to just take up where He left off and read those verses again. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." We are given that free will. We have the choice every day to choose good or to choose evil, to allow things in our lives that are spiritually beneficial or spiritually destructive. But to follow His leading, to open that door when He knocks, defines courage. The willingness to face a task or situation with conviction. Having faith that the Lord will direct us and He will protect us. If we trust in the Lord, we will do that which is right and pleasing in His sight. And so tonight I'd like to talk about courage. The courage to act upon our free will and to do the holy and blessed will of our Father. I have a reading tonight that I'm sure you all are familiar with, and it comes from the 13th and 14th chapters of Numbers. And if you have your books handy, you might open up to the 13th chapter of Numbers. And I'm going to begin at the beginning of that chapter and read the first three verses. Then I'm going to skip down to verse 17. And this is the story where the children of Israel have been led through the wilderness and arrived at the borders of the Promised Land. Chapter 13 of Numbers, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." And then we'll skip down to verse 17. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. What the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage." Be ye of good courage. He gave them that commandment to be courageous in accomplishing the task that He had given them. "And be ye of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. I'm sorry. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and set down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two men upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb was confident in the Lord's ability to conquer that land. And he was ready to go. He was ready to go up and do what the Lord had commanded them to do, to take that land. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Continuing in chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, We would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt. They were fearful. They were unwilling to trust in the Lord. And so the Lord cursed them, made them to wander in the wilderness another 40 years, a year for each day that they spent spying out the land. And so 40 years later, they returned, bringing only those who were children at the time, and Joshua and Caleb, the two who had the courage to go up. In Deuteronomy 31, Deuteronomy 31, verses 1 through 8. The Lord fulfills his promise unto them. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over. Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. And he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So it's the same message that he gave them 40 years earlier. Be of good courage. Be strong in the Lord. Just like those spies, we are frequently crippled by fear, fearful to act, but perhaps later to regret our inaction. Trusting in the Lord gives us the courage to work past our fear and do what we should do. You do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And a number of times I have been prompted to go visit an elderly person, several elderly people, as a matter of fact. And I didn't do it. And then it was too late. Those people passed from this life. Because for whatever reason, I was fearful. I didn't want to do it. But the Lord laid it upon my heart, and I didn't do it. And I regret that. I regret that seriously. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, verses we're all very familiar with. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, there leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I suspect we've all been in this situation one time or another, where we had a disagreement with a brother or a sister, or we had offended someone, or we were offended by someone, but we were afraid. We were afraid to do what the word said. We were crippled by fear. But if we'll courageously trust in the Lord, then we'll be rewarded beyond measure. A number of years ago, we had Monday night studies downstairs. Brother Harris organized that and led those for the most part. And the discussions often got animated. And our sister Margaret Gill and I would frequently tangle. And it was good-natured, but yet I felt like it didn't look good in front of the rest of the group, that we were always kind of at each other. And I didn't think it was right. And so one day I went to Margaret and I said, "Margaret, we've got a problem." And she looked at me like a deer in the headlights. She said, "What are you talking about?" And so I explained how I felt about the Monday night studies. And she said, "You know, you're right. Let's be different." Okay. And so we did. We still had our maybe a different point of view on things, but we approached it differently. And not only did it affect that Monday night study, it affected our relationship completely. It was totally different because we'd taken our relationship out of our hands. We relinquished that and put it in the Lord's hands. We no longer had control of that relationship, like our brother Don said this morning. We took that control and we gave it to the Lord, and we let the Lord direct that. And it made all the difference. And I'm so thankful. That I did that, or that the Lord prompted me to do that. Because it wasn't long after that she became mortally ill. We have other fears that can be overcome with the Lord's help, fears that keep us from doing things. There are any number of men, probably most of the men who have been called to the ministry, are fearful because they fear standing up here and doing what I'm doing right now, public speaking. There have been several brothers, and I can't remember who they are. I was going to try to find out. There have been several brothers who said that in their earlier years, they were admonished by a speech teacher or an English teacher, whatever you do, don't go into public speaking. But the Lord called them into the work. The Lord called them to stand before his people and to open up the understanding of his word. So the Lord said to them, be strong and of good courage. Don't let fear keep you from serving. They overcame those fears. And because of it, we've heard many wonderful, spiritually uplifting messages. My wife had never been in an airplane. She feared getting off the ground or getting in a boat or anything that took her off of solid land. And we'd received invitations any number of times to come down to Mexico and to teach in the camp and to minister down there. And it just, that fear kept us from accepting that invitation. But one day we were here in the sanctuary listening to a sermon. And he was talking about the accomplishments of many of the members of the church who had gone out and served the Lord, and often overseas. And then it was like all of a sudden the amplifier was turned up 10 times louder. And he said, but there were others who didn't go because they were afraid. But she was convicted at that moment that she had to turn that fear over to the Lord. She had to take courage to move out in faith, get on that airplane, and go to Mexico. Courage is being willing to say no to attitudes that we have that are not correct. Attitudes that we have accepted that allow us to do things that maybe we shouldn't do. Even causing us to take God's word and twist those words around to justify what we want to do. But that's wrong. We have to be willing to courageously call evil, evil, and good, good, and not the other way around. Courage is the willingness to say no to people when they want us to do something that we know we shouldn't do. But sometimes it's easier just to go along. A sister recently gave a testimony. She gave me the permission to use her testimony. She was at a convention with some other women, not members of the church, but seemingly good people. And after one of the sessions, the evening session, the ladies said, let's go out and have a drink. And she very politely refused. She said, I'm just going to go back to the hotel. That's not something that I wish to do. And she did. So she was sitting in her room all by herself. Pretty soon, a knock on the door. A couple of the ladies decided that they were not going to go either. And they stayed with her in her room, and they had a lovely visit. She was willing to say no. She was courageous. Courage is the willingness to say no to risky or foolhardy behavior. We think of courage as macho and big and strong I can do anything. I think probably every town in the United States has a dead man's curve. And back in the day, the thing to do was to see who could go around that curve the fastest in their car. And many didn't make it. But they were courageous. But there's nothing courageous about tempting the Lord. When our Lord was tempted, the devil told him to jump off the high part of the temple because the angels would lift him up. And he refused. And he quoted this passage, and I'm going to read it in Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods or the gods of the people which are around you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Courage is the willingness to humble yourself before God and place your very life in his hands, your very soul into his care. Intellectually, we know that we're nothing without him. We know intellectually that he's given us the very life that we have and the very breath that we breathe. But we still want to do it on our own strength. We still want to say, I can deal with this. I can get through this, whatever the problem or the situation is. I can do this. But eventually, we have to drop to our knees in the depths of humility and beg the Lord for a miracle. And then we have to wait. Maybe for a long time. But we have to have the courage to lay our problems at his feet. Courage is the willingness to submit to God's word, as is written in Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These are beautiful verses. They are so powerful. And they really strike to the very core of our existence. But it takes courage to do it. It takes It takes courage to be able to say, Lord, I made a disaster out of my life. And I want to be different. I have the desire in my heart to do your holy will. Yes, I want to be different for those around me, my family, my wife, my parents, my brothers and sisters. But I want to be different for myself because I fear for my eternal soul. I want to give you the broken remains of my life and have you transform me into your child. Your instrument to bring peace and joy and fulfillment into the lives of those around me, into that small part of the world in which I have influence. Lord, sweep up the broken shards of my human existence and mold them into a beautiful tool to be used in your hand. Take away my old man. Mortify it. Destroy it. Eliminate it. And by your grace and mercy, conceive in me a new creature. This takes courage. It takes courage to be willing to give up everything that you are, everything that you've always been, and say, Lord, destroy it. Create me anew in your image. Strengthen my faith and grant me the courage to admit that I've gone so far astray, that I have left you behind in my life, that only you, Lord, can bring me back. Give me the courage to abhor the sin that lives within me, that brings me down day by day into that bottomless pit of despair. Accept my sins, dear Lord. Give me the courage to lay them at your feet, to give them up forever. Illuminate my soul with the light of your love, the word of your gospel, the charity of your Son. This is courage. The willingness to put these things away, to let the Lord do his holy will. Yes, as our brother this morning said, we have our free will. But part of that free will is giving up our control to the Lord. I can only control my life so far. I can only drive that jalopy of a life so far before it just totally disintegrates. I need the Lord in my life to take that old rattle trap and make it a beautiful, shining, new, smooth-running vehicle. But I have to be willing to let him do it. We have to be willing to follow that commandment to be strong and of good courage, to go in and possess the land, not the physical territory, but that beautiful land that he has promised us. If we would be courageous. And if not, we wander in the wilderness until we die. Just like those who were not willing to go in to the promised land. In closing, I'd like to read Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Be strong and of good courage. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Dan. We use number 361 for our closing song.